The question today is, what is judgment in John 16:8? John 16:8, it says, "And when He," meaning the Holy Spirit, "is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And verse 11 goes on to say, "Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." So judgment, what is judgment concerning these verses that I've just quoted to you? Webster defines judgment as, first of all, in the law, it says it's the sentence of doom pronounced in any case, whether it's civil or criminal, by the judge or court by which it is tried to condemn, in other words. In other words, to bring into condemnation means to pronounce to be guilty. Another definition of judgment in Scripture is an extraordinary calamity inflicted by God on sinners. That definition is consistent with judgment in John 16:8-11. Now, in these verses that we've talked about today, or quoted just now, our Lord said He would send the Holy Spirit to reprove of judgment. The word reprove means to convict of judgment, in a sense. And He explained that in verse number 11. And when He said, "He of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Now, the prince or ruler in verse number 11 of John 16 that Jesus is referring to is Satan, who is called a prince in Ephesians 2:2, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And He's also called the God with a little g of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3 and 4. "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God," little g, "of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And we find that Satan is also called the anointed cherub in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse number 14 and 15, where he's called the anointed cherub walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, and he did that from the day he was created till iniquity was found in him. And due to his sin, Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12 through 15 says, "How art thou fallen, O from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of morning, son of the morning? How art thou cut down from the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." In other words, he had a sentence of condemnation passed on him, and he was cast out of heaven, and he shall be brought down to hell, which was prepared for him. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41 says, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, in the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." God never prepared hell for man. He prepared hell for the devil and his angels. And yet, if man chooses to take sides with the devil and go his route, and he rejects the light that God gives him, then God has no choice but to cast that person in hell as well. And therefore, it says that hell hath enlarged itself, because God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. Therefore, if God judged his righteous archangel, the anointed cherub, as verse number 11 brings out, "and appointed him to judgment, who are we to think that we can get by?" Nahum chapter 1, verse number 3 says, the Lord will not at all acquit the wicked. In other words, He'll not clear of a charge to the wicked. Sin must be paid for. And the only way for that to happen was for sin to be placed upon God's dear Son on the cross. And there He paid our sin debt, our judgment in full. That's one reason Jesus was robed in flesh, to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8, He said, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." Therefore, for a person to be saved, he must be reproved of judgment, proved guilty before a holy God. And if God spared not the prince, nor the angels, nor the old world in Noah's day, nor Sodom and Gomorrah, neither will He spare any sinner whose sins are not covered by the blood. 2 Peter 2, 4 through 6 tells us that God spared not the angels that sinned, nor the world in Noah's day, nor Sodom and Gomorrah. So therefore, He will not spare any sinners whose sin is not covered by the blood. Now, we're talking about what is judgment. Now, the same Greek word translated judgment in John 16, 8 is translated condemnation in John 3, 19. And also in John 5, 24. In John 3, 19, He said, "And this is the condemnation," or the judgment, "that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." John 5, 24 said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." In these verses, the requirement not to face judgment or not to be condemned is to believe. And it's not just to believe with the head, it's to believe with the heart with a saving faith. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 2, that many believed on Him, and Jesus said He did not believe them. He did not commit Himself to them, for He knew all men. They did not believe with a saving faith. In John chapter 8, it says there that many Jews believed on Jesus, and Jesus put a demand upon them and said, "If you will continue in my word, you shall be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And they got angry. And they would not continue. They refused to do what the Lord said. And as a result, after a conversation with the Lord, Jesus pronounced judgment upon them and said, "Ye are of your father the devil." You must have saving faith. Anything less than saving faith brings judgment. And also the word for judgment is translated damnation in Mark chapter 3, verse number 29. "But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation." Eternal judgment, if you please. In Matthew 23:23, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" That's the judgment of hell. This refers to the great white throne judgment where sinners will stand before one day. The Bible said in Revelations 20:11 about that great white throne, John saw it. "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." That's going to be an awesome day. It's going to be so awesome if the heaven and the earth fled away from the face of God. What's it going to be like for lost sinners to stand there? And they will stand there. And how sad it will be when they try to justify themselves and then hear the words of a holy God as He pronounces a sentence of condemnation upon them, or of judgment upon them, or damnation upon them. Matthew 7:22 and 23, He said, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" That's preachers. "And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." In other words, He said, "I never knew you." And the Greek has, "I never knew you at any time." That doesn't mean that people were saved and lost like some people try to teach. That is unbiblical. But here He said, "I never knew you at any time." And He said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Depart from me. They'll be cast in the lake of fire forever. Revelations 20:15, it says, after that great white throne judgment, it said, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You see, they'll not be burned up in that lake of fire, but will feel the torments of God's judgment throughout eternity. Not only is this word judgment translated condemnation and damnation, but the word judgment is synonymous with the wrath of God. Paul stated that before a person is saved, they're a child of wrath. Ephesians 2:3 said, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That wrath abides upon a person. It remains on all who've not reached the knowledge of accountability. In other words, they're not yet saved. If they've reached the knowledge of accountability, I think I said that backwards a while ago. Let me restate that to get that right. All that wrath abides on all who have reached the knowledge of accountability and are not yet saved. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." What an awful predicament to be in for a man to stand before the great white throne judgment one day and be cast into the lake of fire, to suffer the wrath of God forever and forever and forever. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit to reprove you of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. You see, this is a judgment that the Holy Spirit reproves you of. That's Holy Ghost conviction we've dealt with in another question in time past. And many people have only seen a tip of the reproval, I guess you could say. And some people say, well, all you've got to do is be convicted to be saved. Convicted of what? The word convicted comes from the word reprove. And He said in John 16, verse number 8, "And He, the Holy Spirit, will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." All three of them must be dealt with. But many have just seen the tip of that and had the tip of that dealt with, and that only have the judgment upon them, if you please. In other words, I spoke about this before, but I will speak about it again. And many people say, well, I don't want to go to hell. And they make a false profession because they've never been reproved of sin of unbelief. They've never been reproved of righteousness. You say, preacher, you don't know that. I know that the Holy Ghost conviction must be complete in all three areas that John 16, 8 through 11 says. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. In other words, they must be complete, Holy Ghost conviction, complete in all three areas for salvation to occur. Now, the Lord doesn't save you to keep you out of hell. He saves you for His glory. And one of the benefits of that is that you will escape hell if you've been saved. But you must come to Him for who He is, not just for what He can do for you. If you don't come God's way, judgment still abides on you. And if you have reached the knowledge of accountability and you never get saved, the judgment abides on you and you'll be cast in the lake of fire forever. Oh, I beg you, let God's complete work of Holy Ghost conviction be finished upon you, and salvation will be real and complete in you. I have other tapes. I have other books on this material. If you'd like them, send us your questions, but we'll also answer them on the air, but we'll also send you some answers in tapes and books directly if you'd like to have them. Free for the asking. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.